senior high class just before class started, and they were asking me if I saw a fight that happened over the weekend, professional UFC fight, and I said, no, I haven't seen it. And they were talking about it. We were going back and forth, and I don't know why my mind works this way, but I left there and started thinking about how these fights related to being a Christian. And so that's something I want to talk about just for a couple minutes tonight before we close. So when I lived in Indiana, I started training with a guy named Johnny Love, and he was a professional MMA fighter. I never fought, never got into the whole fighting aspect of it, but I enjoyed hitting a bag. I don't know what it was. It was like a stress reliever. I enjoyed hitting a heavy bag, and I can do that forever. You put me on a treadmill, I last about 5 minutes. But you put me on a bag, I can go for a while. And so I really enjoyed it, and I had a good time doing it. And even now, I still go to the gym every now and then, and I'll just hit a bag because it's a good stress reliever. But I started thinking, the trainer that I had, he kept asking me, Jake, I want you to fight, I want you to fight. And I said, I'm not interested in fighting, I have no desire to fight. Nothing about getting hit in the face seemed fun to me. And so I said, no, I'm good. And so we started going throughout this training, and when we finally got to how to hit the bag and how to properly defend yourself and things like that, he said, okay, I'm going to start getting your gear on. And I said, all right, this is great, let's go. And we and him would spar back and forth, and he got two bands, arm bands, and he started right here and wrapped himself up and went around my fingers, and then he slid that glove on, and he Velcroed me up. And then he got on this arm, did the same thing, Velcroed me up, and I stood there, and he goes, you ready? I said, ready for what? He said, to fight. And I said, what about my head? He goes, you don't need nothing on your head. Don't get hit. I said, what about my mouth? He goes, you ain't supposed to get hit in your mouth either. And I said, there's nothing else that I'm supposed to be wearing as I go into this. He's like, no. He goes, just use your hands and keep hitting until one of you all hit the ground. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So this was the whole thing that we went through. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking, you know what? When you look at these boxing matches and you go through this, I mean, all you're given is gloves. And you're expected to go out there and you're expected to fight these people with just gloves on your hand. And you're supposed to hope that you don't get hit or you don't get knocked out. But in God's family, in the army of God, he says there are six things I want you to put on to overcome the battles that you are about to overcome. And when you become a child of God, you're given these six attributes. And there's six things that he tells you to put on. And I want to discuss them six things tonight. And this way, when you go into battle, and you're going through challenges in your life. Maybe right now you're going through a battle or a challenge and that you're trying to think to yourself, how do I overcome this? How do I get through this? You can look at these things and realize, you know what? God has fully protected me to go forward into any battle and to any challenge that I've been that I come in contact with. So I know this may be confusing. This is not me on the screen. This is someone else, but I know those similarities there. But no, this is someone else. But he tells us to put on a couple of things. First, he says, put on the belt of truth. He tells us, put on the sword of the Spirit. Have that in your hand. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the shoes on your feet, the shoes of the gospel of peace on your feet. He says, take up the shield of faith and have that in front of you. Take on the helmet of salvation. And these are coming from Ephesians chapter 6. And the reason why he says these things, we're going to notice in a moment, is that you can be fully prepared to go into battle and face anything that comes your way. When he tells you, you know what, I want you to put on the belt of truth. The reason why it's the belt first is because the belt is designed to hold in and to secure everything else that's on that soldier. This is the first piece he tells us to put on, and to secure all the other pieces in place. When we know God's truth and we know what he teaches, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, I have your back, I'm going to go through this with you together as a child of God, we can go into these battles and challenges that are thrown at us, and we are able to defend ourselves against the darts that Satan throws our way. In 1 Peter, he says, you got to be careful and you got to be watchful. You got to look over your shoulder. You got to watch your back. Why? Because Satan is looking out, and he's trying to attack you. And he's your adversary. He's not someone you want to be friends with. And he says that he is looking for any opportunity that he can to pounce you and to bring you down. So when that tells me is that as these darts are constantly coming at me, he says, put on the belt and know the belt of truth. Know what I teach in my word. Know what I have put forth for you in every battle and challenge that you go through in life. Know these things. So that way when you come in contact with these battles, you can be able to withstand them and be conquered. In order to truly be ready for battle in this life, we must be completely truthful to ourselves regarding our inner being. We have to be completely honest with ourselves. Before we can work on the outer. before the outer will work, we have to be truly accepted to ourselves. Hey, do I really follow the commands of God? Do I really obey the commands that God put forth? Do I really have the truth that God says? Do I really believe what he says in his word when he says, I got your back, I'm not going to leave you? Do I really believe that? Or do I go into battle wondering, how am I going to come out of this? God says, I got your back, I'm on your side. But we got to put on these armors of God. He says, then put on the breastplate of righteousness. Without righteousness, we leave ourselves open to Satan's attack. Without this breastplate, when Satan comes at us, we are left vulnerable. That's why he says, protect the chest of yourself. Notice what the psalmist says in 119, 172. He says that God's commandments are righteousness. And when we look at our lives and we look at where we're at in this life and the channels that we go through, he says, put on the belt and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we're getting somewhere now. Now we're starting to get somewhere to protect our front being. Notice he says, take the sword of the Spirit, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. He says, the word of God is living and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is piercing even the division of joints and the marrow and discerner, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God that we read is sharper than any two-edged sword. That was a tongue twister. But it tells you there, when you read it, is that it's living and it's powerful. What's that mean? It means right now in 2020, when I'm going through things in my life, and like Phil said, we wonder, hey, when's this year going to end? How's this going to end? What's the things going to happen? How's this going to go? Where are we going to go from here? We can look at the Bible and say, this book is still living and it's still powerful. And the things that he said 2,000 years ago and beyond are still relevant to me today. And I can learn from these things and I can overcome these challenges that are in my way. And so we have to be sure that we take on the sword of the Spirit. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, when Jesus was tempted in the garden on the mountaintop, what did he say? He said, it is written, Satan. He came back with him with Scripture. And so in life, when we are thrown with these darts from Satan, knowing the Word of God and using that as our defense mechanism can pour off Satan's darts. Our sword in life wasn't going to sharpen by itself. It's not a self-sharpening tool. We have to constantly be studying and looking at the Word of God to encourage ourselves and to edify ourselves and to learn and to grow in God's Word by sharpening our sword. He then says, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, a lot of times when you think of this, I remember as a kid when they would say, put on the whole armor of God, and they would talk about the shoes. To me, I didn't think that was really important. I didn't think that was really good. I was like, well, what's the big deal about shoes? I started reading something today, and it made me think about this. The military successes both of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar were due in large measure to their armies being well-shoed and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over long terrains. And this is from Elbert Barnes, the Bible Study Bible. But this was something that struck me out, was that when they had proper shoes on, they were able to go longer, they were able to adapt to the terrain, and they were able to continue marching on. Having our shoes on will allow us to know to spread the gospel, spread the saving message news that you and I have to those around us, even when the battle doesn't seem as easy as it should be. So the way I look at this is that sometimes in life we try to share the gospel with people, but they don't receive it the way that we, in our minds, maybe think that they're going to receive it. There's some people that you can talk to, that you can try to share the God's word with, and they put up a brick wall. And we ask ourselves, well, how do I get through this? By having on these shoes, we can go longer and we can adapt longer by knowing the word of God. And by roughing through, as he says, rough terrain, we can hopefully and eventually reach the souls of those who are lost. He says, put on the shield of faith. The shield of faith is not just for personal use. I want you to notice what they used to do as the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers used to come together and they would join their shields together. And the reason why they would do that is because one shield was good, but when you had a lot of shields together, it was even better. It's a lot harder to get through a bunch of shields. But one-on-one's fine. But when you have hundreds of people with their shields together, you're creating now a barrier. Something I want us to notice is that when we as God's people together, come together and we strengthen one another and we join our swords and our shields together, we can take on any challenge that comes our way. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at us. It doesn't matter what Satan throws at our way, what darts he throws. As a congregation, as a people, as God's people, when we join together, we uplift each other, we edify each other, and we show our faith to one another, we too can join in these forces and overcome any challenge and battle that comes our way. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Number one, we must receive tremendous hope and comfort knowing that Jesus died for us. When he talks about putting this on, you think to yourself, why do I do what I do? When someone asks you, why do you become a Christian and why do you live the Christian life the way you do? Well, it's the hope and the comfort that happens after this life is over, like Barry talked about this morning. That hope and that comfort that we find in that Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, for me. And by that hope, I know that I have something greater than what I'm dealing with here on earth. The hope of salvation and being a child of God protects our minds from the discouragement and the despair that comes from this world. And right now, we can honestly say that we get a lot of that, can't we? The discouragement and the despair. But if we know, you know what? Yeah, things in this life isn't the greatest. Yeah, things ain't going the way that we really thought was going to happen this year. That's fine. All I can know is that no matter how it ends or no matter what happens, I have a home that's greater than what I got here. And that home is waiting for me, as Jesus says, when this life is over. And so he says, put on the helmet of salvation. One of the things that we noticed is when you look at these six things, there's some things that he tells you to put on, right? All these six things we just covered. And when you look at the soldier, you notice to yourself, there's nothing protecting the back of that soldier, right? There's nothing guarding the back of him. And you look and you say, why? Why would God tell everyone, put on all these things, but don't cover your back? Don't worry about your back. And the reason is, he wants us to go forward into battle, and he never intends on you to turn your back on the enemy. He intends for you to fight them battles with him on your side and continually move forward. And tonight, you may be here, and you're saying, you know what? I've turned my back. I've left my back open to the enemy. I've allowed myself to become a victim to the despair and the discouragement of the world. I haven't been the Christian I need to be. I haven't been the example I need to be. I haven't been the child of God I need to be. Yeah, I put on the whole armor of God, but I've turned my back, and I'm starting to feel the piercings come from my back. Maybe you're here, and you say, you know what? I've never put on this whole armor of God. I've never given my life to Jesus. I want to leave this place knowing that I'm fully armored in the things that we talked about tonight so that when I go out into this world, I can be fully geared up and ready to fight any battle and any challenge that comes my way. We can make that happen by hearing the word of God, by believing, by repenting of your sins. Are you going to mess up? Yeah. Are you going to have troubles? Yes. But by saying, Jesus, I know I messed up. I'm asking for your forgiveness. I'm going to turn away from this lifestyle. I'm going to confess your name. I'm going to be baptized, fully immersed in water. I'm going to rise again, a new creature, putting on that whole armor of God. And I'm going to leave this place a new creature, fully armed for the battles that lies ahead. Tonight, if you're here and we can help you in any way, pray for you, encourage you, edify you, or baptize you in the name of Jesus, let it be known now as together we stand and while we sing.